Dear Father, I'm glad I get to be with my family today. People I love, people that I know love you. I'm grateful today that we get to gather on a beautiful summer day to start our day right, to focus our minds on you, to make sure our hearts are in the right place. Lord God, it's going to be a beautiful summer. We're going to have a lot of experiences along the way that are going to be great, but help us not to take a vacation from you. Help us not to miss these moments, to gather together, to be in your presence, to be with other people who love you, and to keep growing. Growth never takes a vacation. And we look forward to the way that you're going to grow us this summer together. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's an awesome day to be together and all together. We love that. We love playing outside. We're a church that likes to play, and play we will. Also, we've got several friends who are being baptized today, which is the most exciting thing that we like to look forward to. That indicator that God is still working in our lives and us and the people that we know. He is bringing people from dead to alive in Christ. And that's what baptism is all about. It gives me goose pimples just thinking about it. So that's why we're here. After we're done hanging out here, we're going to go down there and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. So I want to encourage you to do what we don't normally get to do, as we're going to sing some songs of worship. Not asking you to know the songs or be familiar with the songs. We're not asking you to clap. Not even going to ask you to stand up or anything. What we're going to ask you to do is to worship. However that looks, you do that. I would suggest drink it in. There's some really cool stuff around you. And we're celebrating how awesome the God is that we serve.
This is quickly becoming one of my favorite places on earth. It really is. I love coming here. I love worshiping here. Some of the most significant interactions, if I could say it that way, that I've had with some of you have happened right in this place. The privilege of being able to take you down to baptismal waters and get that chance to express to your friends your love for Jesus. I've been able to do a wedding out here. There have been so many things that are happening out here relationally that have just been fantastic. I'm glad we get to spend this time together in what could not be a more perfect weather day. Imagine if yesterday's monsoon was coming through right about now. We wouldn't have to do baptisms. We'd just go with sprinkling for a little bit. And I promise you, yesterday, you'd probably be wetter than if I took you into the river. That was an insane rain. What's a gift without a bow? You get a gift. I mean, I don't mind getting a gift anyway, to be honest. Somebody gives me a bag and it's not wrapped. I don't care. It's a gift. That's cool. But there's still something about you get this gift and it's wrapped and it's got this bow on top and it's got your name on it. It all comes together. Well, you know what? We've been given a gift this summer. Philippians has been a gift. It's been cool to just go booking through this letter that Paul wrote to see what he put there. I found it challenging and refreshing. I know both in my head and in my heart that pure joy gives my soul a reason to smile despite the most severe circumstances in my life, no matter what. And I hope by now that you've incorporated that truth into your life as well. That you know full well your joy has nothing to do with what you're going through. That's not what it's about. That's not what determines what's going on with your soul smile. For me, Philippians has been about really finding that ability for my soul to smile again. And I've got to say, it's been a gift. So what I want to do this morning is put the bow on it. Because we didn't cover those last couple of verses. We didn't end it. We didn't land the plane. And we're going to do that right now. So you can't look at the words on the screen. You'll just have to trust me. This is what the Bible says, unless you brought your own. Philippians 4:20 says, "Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen." These flowery benedictions, I think, can be glanced over way too quickly. We just kind of hear them. Paul says them. We go, wow, wasn't that pretty? Well, it's not just filler. I think really in these moments, Paul's not just being a pastor. No, glory to God the Father. It's not something like that. He is enraptured. He is caught up in the moment. He can't help but think about how fantastic his God is in light of all that he's written up to that point. All glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. That word glory is interesting. It's not one we really use commonly these days. It can have a lot of meanings. It can refer to beauty and wonder, magnificence, splendor, opulence, and grandeur. This morning, we could say, this is a glorious morning. There's glory all about us as we're sitting here today. I really think that part of what Paul is saying is you need to get lost in God's magnificence. When's the last time you did that? You just took the time to dwell on God enough that you got lost in who he was. You got lost in his magnificence. I think we get lost in the list of things we think we're supposed to do for God. Right? We got a checklist. I got to pray. I got to read my Bible. Got to be nice to people. I can't bite. All that stuff. You know, we have the list and we try to live by the list. When's the last time you just got lost in who God is? Spend some time thinking about him. All glory to God our Father. Glory is also about praise and worship, adoration, honor, reverence. Only one person in all of the universe, only one being in this universe deserves our allegiance. And it's not a member of the Cubs. It's God. We worship him. We worship him alone. There's another side of glory, and this is kind of where my head goes when I think about glory. Glory a lot of times also refers to credit. Who gets the credit? Who gets the glory? Who gets the credit for what just happened here? If anyone is going to be recognized in our church, if anyone is going to get the credit, it should always, only, ever be God. He's the one that deserves the credit. You know, Paul actually did this in the verses just before this. He was talking about the gift that the Philippians had given to him, how they had taken care of his need. And then he turns it and says, but my God who supplied all my needs will supply yours as well through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Philippians could have looked at that and said, wait a second, we supplied your need, not God. Paul says, hey, you were the tool, you were the vessel, you were the hands, you were the person God used in order to fulfill the need that I had. The truth is, only one name matters around this church, and that's God. All credit goes to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. We need to remember that as a church. I got to admit, it creeps me out. This is kind of personal thing, okay? It creeps me out when I'm having a conversation with an outsider, and they'll refer to a church, and they'll say, you know, have you heard of Pastor Billy Jackson's church? Whatever. You know, that you throw in the name. And I kind of go, no, I haven't heard of that church. See, around here we like to think of this as Christ's church. It's not a pastor's church. And truth is, it's not a people's church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. All credit, always, only, ever goes to him. Anything good that happens at Southfield, including what happens today, even the taco salad that I'm sure, you know, Justin prompted and it's sitting over there. Everything, all credit, belongs to God. He did it, not any of us. It's just fun to be part of his work, to be his tools as he's doing what he desires. Well, then we come to the final verses. As you look at your passage, it's entitled Paul's Final Greeting. And this is what he says. Give my greetings to each of God's holy people, all who belong to Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send their greetings, and all the rest of God's people send greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. Now, if you're familiar with Paul's writing, something unusual is going on here. More often than not, when he is landing the plane, he names names. The names are usually kind of funny sounding, but he'll name some of the people that are in that church. He doesn't name anyone specifically here. We know some of their names, Lydia. The Philippian jailer, the Philippian jailer's family, Euodia, Syntyche. We know some of the names of these people. We know how they're referred to. He mentions no names. We know Paul loves this church. We know Paul knew people at this church. Is it possible that Paul is so in love with them that he just sees them as one? There's no reference to an individual. When he thinks of the Philippians, he thinks of one person. No superstars. No key players. No one stands out. They all do. They all do. They all matter to God. I heard a great sermon this past year. It was by a black pastor. He was celebrating the 25th anniversary of another pastor. And I honestly expected as I listened to this sermon that I'd hear 30 to 60 minutes of praise of the pastor. One thing after another that he had done. And it's funny, he never referenced anything the pastor had done. But here's what he did do. It was a great tool. It was amazing. Over and over again throughout his sermon, he would refer to the church by name. The church's name was Shiloh. And he'd say, listen, Shiloh. And as he's doing this, I felt like he was talking to an individual. He was just talking to one person. I love that. I love that idea that we're not this person or that person, but we're Southfield. We're one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. I like that. No Dennis or Justin, Kim or Courtney or Lorraine, John, Mary, Tristy, Jaron. Southfield. That's who we are. Paul, in his closing, does two things. First, he says, there is one name that should be named in this church. It's the only one that should be given credit, and that's God. Now, all glory to God forever and ever. Amen. And then he goes on to say, no single name in this church stands above the others. I love that, and I hope you do too. Humility. What did he say in Philippians 2? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he talked about humility, not promoting yourself, not putting yourself above someone else, but actually just the opposite, seeing others as better than you. He brings it down to the end. He says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace. The definition I learned as a kid is grace is unmerited favor. It's the favor of God that I can't earn, I can't deserve. He just gives it to me. He just gives it to me because I'm his kid. I mean, it really comes down to a difference for so many of us between being and doing. We think God loves us because of what we do. We think that God's love comes down to, well, he read the list of good things I did for him this past week or month or several years. And of course God loves me. No, God loves you because you're you. God loves you because he created you. And I really want you to embrace this truth that you're at the deepest level. God just loves you, not despite you, but because of you. God just loves you. At the deepest level, we need to let God's grace wash over us. And I love the final words. He said, let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. What a way to end a book. Let it be with your spirit. Let it indwell you. Let it wash over you at the deepest level. Let your soul smile again because you really understand and have grasped God's grace. That's going to be the story of this morning. The story this morning is we see people baptized. I mean, it would be great to get them up here. Well, it'd be great from our perspective to get them up there and hear their story for about 45 minutes. From their standpoint, they'd be swallowing their teeth and wouldn't like that at all. But I tell you what, every person in this room has a story of how God's grace has impacted them. And that's what we get to celebrate this morning, going out to that water and celebrating the unmerited favor of God. It's not what we're doing. It's what he's done that makes a difference. So, now what I'm going to do is shift over here and spend the next couple of minutes talking about where we're going in the coming year. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to name some names. And you're going to be like, that guy doesn't even listen to his own sermons. What's going on here? I'm not naming names to give credit. I'm naming names so that you know who to talk to and who to blame, okay? So that you know where to point and you know what's going on. Every once in a while, the family needs to know who's directing the traffic, how's this working, what's going on. And this morning, as we're gathered in this place, it just seems like a good idea to say, hey, this is the person you need to know. This is the person you need to talk to. So as we're gathered here, let me just run down where we're going this coming year. The last time we were here, God flicked our dominoes. Yeah, you know how dominoes work. Hit the first one. Yeah, it's a butterfly, folks. I know they don't normally fly around in church, but it's really cool, isn't it? He flicked our dominoes. And all of a sudden, they just started to fall. You see, we have some people that had been part of our church for a long time, and they said, yeah, we're moving, we're being relocated, this is happening, that's happening. And all of a sudden, these holes were opening up real fast. And most people were going, that's cool. And some people were going, what in the world are we going to do? And one of the things we did a lot is pray. We prayed a lot this summer asking God, what are you doing here? Remember what we talked about last week? We talked about this woods and other woods and said the thing about big trees, is when they're standing there, the little trees have a tough time growing. But it's amazing how when the big tree is removed, all of a sudden a bunch of little trees get a chance to pop up and start running. So what we've been doing this past summer, and I'll tell you what, my wife's been in on a big time, in this rather nerve-wracking summer, is just starting to talk to some people and saying, what do you think about taking on a different role than you ever have before? The first domino in this string that fell was Don Yost. Don's been teaching our kids on Sunday morning. And Don and Misty have had a longing for a long time to get involved in high school and be able to partner with Justin and helping to lead our high school ministry. And so we had a talk with them, and it was not a difficult domino to tip. They said, yeah, cool, let's go. Misty still has a lot of high schooler in her waiting to be worked out, and she's ready to go. She was off to the dunes yesterday getting sand in her hair, having a great time. So Don and Misty are going to be involved helping with high school, which means now these kids on Sunday morning are just going to sit there and watch the wall because Don's not there. Well, no, not exactly. Because for a while, John Beaker's been saying, man, I miss teaching those kids. And so we talked to John, and he said, yeah, you know what? I'd like to shift down and get involved in teaching with the kids on Sunday morning again. Now, I don't know. You know, more than one of you have referenced Justin's energy when you talk about it. It must be like a comparison. You know, here's Dennis kind of, and then, whoa, this. Okay. So the only one that does more than this is John. Ever have a conversation with John? I mean, you need a nap when you're done. I swear he has a caffeine IV running up the side of his leg, plugged in and going. These kids on Sunday morning, they're going to be going, what happened? So anyway, John's going there. Susan, his wife, has been our treasurer. And that is a huge role in our church. It's huge. If you've never done that, I mean, for crying out loud, some of us, checkbook, schmeckbook. We just open a new one every couple months and forget the other one. It's a big job. She's also had the huge job of being involved in storying with our kids on Sunday morning, our junior hires. See, what we really want to make sure of is once our kids are in junior high, if you want to call it that confirmation era, whatever it is, we want to make sure that if our kids go through 3 years with us in junior high, they know what's in the Bible. They know the stories of the Bible. They know the consistent story from beginning to end of the Bible. It's huge. Susan's been doing that too. And Susan said, I need to choose one or the other. And I said, well, I like getting a paycheck. So we're going to find someone else to talk to about story. So Jaron Wojewoda, we talked to her, another domino. And if you don't know Jaron taught junior high for years in a school with kids that can be a little rougher than ours. I say can be because ours can be rough sometimes too. And she just loves working with junior high. And I got to tell you, loving work with junior high, that is a spiritual gift. That's huge. That's huge. When someone says, I love working with junior high, you know what you say? You're hired. You're hired. And Jaron's personality is just going to fit beautifully with that process of teaching our kids how to repeat the stories of what's going on in the Bible and then to understand how to incorporate them into our lives. So then that brings us over to this thing going on at the high school level. We brought on Justin a little over a year ago, and here was our intention. We want this guy to focus on students. We wanted to focus on students. And not too long into the hiring process, we said, you know what? We got another hole over here called worship. What can you do? He's like, oh, I can play guitar. I can sing a little bit. Let's see what happens there. Actually, he did more than that. He's led us in a great path of worship this past year. And as much as I've enjoyed the path of worship he's led us in, God is doing something amazing in our church in students. I mean, if not for any other reason, they're here. There was an era that you couldn't, you know, find two students around our church. We have a bunch of high schoolers and a bunch of junior hires. And this past summer we talked about, Justin, we need to get you focused back to what we hired you to do. And so he's shifting his focus back there. We talked about the warehouse that we've rented to be able to have a ministry space to be able to work on reaching out better to our high schoolers, because honestly, Justin's living room, though it is fun, can only fit so many kids. But then that leaves this worship hole. And so this morning I'm here to tell you that even though I can't sing or play anything, Dana is going to step up. Yeah. Now, again, this isn't about names, but I got to say something. There is one quality that I look for in a worship leader, one and one alone. Humble. Humble. I like that they can play and I like that they can sing, but I'll tell you what, arrogance in worship makes me want to throw up, and I can't imagine what it does to Jesus. I can't imagine what it looks like when somebody kind of does the, yeah, that was pretty good, wasn't it? That's not Dana, and you already know that. You already know that from the time that she's led us in worship. Here's a person who really wants to connect our hearts to God. So she's going to be more the face of Sunday morning in terms of leading worship, as well as getting the whole group organized and together. And it's a huge task, and I want you to be praying for her on that. We've mentioned that Kyle Isabelli has gone on to a new place in terms of leading junior high. John is going to be more involved on Sunday morning, and Justin's going to be stepping up more on the junior high side. One other area I got to tell you about, actually two. Setup. A year ago, Steve O was in charge of setup. Then we went to Steve D in charge of setup. And as of this summer, Steve A is taking over setup. So what I have to say to you this morning is, if your name is Steve, watch out. Yeah, Steve Almberg is going to be the guy really filling in that area. And then one other area that we have a huge hole. Kara used to be that person on Sunday morning waving, saying hi, sending you to the right place. And we found the one other friendly person in our church, Carrie Kristoff, who's got joy and juice and love for people. And back from Michigan and ready to get out there and start greeting people. So that gives you a rundown of just some of the shifting that's been going on that God is doing. And I'm going to say something that I don't say trivially. I'm as excited about this ministry year as I have been in years. I don't just say that. Some pastors do that. Oh, I'm really excited. And then they go grumble about it. No, I have never been as excited as I am about what we're about to undertake. The people that have taken on new roles, it's going to be fresh, it's going to be exciting. We've got some great stuff at this great new space from which to do some of our work, which, by the way, I got two things to say on that. The warehouse is for students and stuff during the week. We're still meeting at Shanahan Junior High. If you show up at the warehouse next Sunday morning, you'll be lonely. We're still at Shanahan Junior High. Here's the other thing. Some of you have been excited because you thought that our building was being completed on Route 6. The sign in front says First Baptist Shanahan. It does not say Southfield. Now, you may want to go check it out if you love a building. That's up to you. But if you love Southfield, you're going to want to keep coming to Shanahan Junior High. That's where we are. And I'll tell you what, honestly, I'm really excited. First Baptist has been trying for years to get that building up. And any time another group can get something going for God, we cheer for them. All right? Go ahead and do it now so that they can hear you. Back to two services next week, 9:10:30. Pick one. Have fun. It'll be good. You can come to both if you want. You know, because it does vary from time to time. You never know. As you're leaving today, we got a bunch of kids that are going to be putting... Where'd it go? It did it? No, not that one. But thanks. I guess maybe I didn't bring one up. There's a sheet that's going to be on your windshield. And it's going to let you know everything that's going on. Hold it up, Jay. Show the world. It's going to look something like that. It has all kinds of details on it. Well, I told you. I'm excited about what's coming. You know what's cool? Realized this just a few days ago. I mean, it's been kind of in the back of my mind. It's 2011. We started in 1881. We're 130 this year. 130-year-old church plant. Wow. That is cool. Do you realize that this time of year, 130 years ago, there was a group of people babbling away in Swedish, plotting over what God was going to do in Joliet? I wonder if they ever dreamed, what will the church look like 130 years from now? Way back then, I've read the translated version. People got baptized back then, and people get baptized today. There's been this continuity throughout 130 years of people coming to Jesus. And that is incredibly exciting. Tell you what we're going to do right now. Our ushers are going to come and collect the offering. Hopefully we have some. I don't know. Did we get ushers today? If not, oh, look at this. Mike, you're so good. They're passing the basket around. Go ahead and put your offering in there. We don't have a card for you today. And as they're doing that, I want to give you some names. Again, people who today are declaring their devotion to you. These are people that we've had a chance to talk to, find out where they are in their faith walk. They are ready and excited to declare to you what's happening with them. So I'm actually going to start at the bottom of my list because she's going to get to go first. Sandra Pueg, every Sunday since the snow has been flying, has said, I'm getting baptized this Sunday or this summer. I'm getting baptized this summer. She's gone through so many health problems, right through to one yesterday, that she's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do this. She's crying. She's here today. She's getting baptized. That's going to be very cool. Abby Grayson. Abby, go ahead and stand, wave. Let us see who you are. Ah, very cool. You know what's neat? Kids can come to Jesus. Kids can understand, I need to follow Christ. How about this guy? Blake Herzberger, stand up. You know what's cool about Blake? I've been here long enough that I know when Blake wasn't. I've been able to see Blake grow. Blake spends a lot of time at our house. He lives in the neighborhood, Nate's best friend, and I've gotten to see him grow and become a person who's devoted to following Jesus. It's wonderful when you get that privilege of seeing that. I mentioned a wedding that I've been a part of in this place. Ciprian and Ann Magdash are going to be getting baptized today as a couple. Go ahead and stand up, guys. Where are you? Yeah, that's exciting. Ann actually held off to wait until Ciprian could be here so that they could get baptized together. Mark Martin. Are you there, Mark? Mark's been sitting over at Sound lately. From what I understand this morning talking to Justin, you went to Eisenhower with him. You knew Justin back then. Did he do this back then? Okay. Okay, this one's cool. They all are. Eileen and Mike Miller. Where are you? Yeah. So last time we were supposed to do this, Eileen got really sick. And this time I've been like praying all week long. We've been regulating her diet. We've been doing all kinds of stuff. She's here today. She's getting baptized. Lynn Orlick. There she is, Lynn. Again, just a great chance to say, I love Jesus. And I want people to know. Joe Schmidt. Joe. Joe has grown in his walk with Christ because of Jim Van Eck. We've talked about this before. Our rule with baptisms is pretty simple. You catch him, you get to clean him. All right? He brought him to Christ. Jim's going to be the one today dunking him underwater. And Joe, I hope you haven't done anything bad lately because we don't want him holding you too long. Okay. Zach Shellhorn. Zach standing up back there. Zach's another one. I remember when Zach wasn't. And you know what's cool? even though there was a time that we didn't know Zach before his birth, Jesus and God knew him before the foundations of the world. And they knew this was going to be happening today. Kayla Sponholz. How are you, Kayla? It's been fun to watch her grow and develop into a person who loves Jesus, and to watch the impact that her family and others have had on her. It's been amazing. And Cheryl Vanderplow. Where are you, Cheryl? Really excited for Cheryl. Got a chance to sit and talk to her and hear her story of faith. You know, again, like others of you, a person who early in life was baptized by her parents and now later in life is saying, hey, it's not that I'm dishonoring that, but this is a choice I need to make. This is a decision I need to make today. So, again, all of this is just a tremendous example of the grace of God, his unmerited favor. People aren't getting baptized today because of what they've done, except for this fact. They've trusted in Christ as their forgiver and leader, and they've said, from here on out, I'm going to do all I can to live the way he says. I'm living the lifestyle Jesus calls me to.